Oh, well, the first thing you ought to throw in this, I fished it up this afternoon at rehearsal, too, didn't I?
Same line, huh?
Well, here we go again.
Hi, this is Keith, your host.
There you are, Fatso. Come here to Mama and give her a great big hit.
And it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast. The Retro Radio Podcast, the Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
I don't understand.
Always family-friendly, always good, clean fun. Now located at retro-otr.com.
If you have any questions about the inside of radio that you wish answered on the air, write a letter to us.
Oh, I will, right away.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is your host, Keith. Just wanted to say thanks for listening and welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast. Hope everyone's enjoying our summer lineup we've been running. Today's show will be one from Fred Allen. This one is from January 22nd, 1936, titled The Mumbo, or Who Stole the Elephant? A classic time for Fred Allen's comedy, and this is a prime example of the kind of shows that he did back in the day. Yeah, he also features one of his signature characters, a guy named One Long Pan, Fred's own answer to the character of Charlie Chan, the Chinese detective. And yeah, this is going to be a long show, so without any further ado, away we go.
In Town Hall tonight, folks, 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salafatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salafatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his mighty Allen Art players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of anxious and eager amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! They're jumping up and down and cheering as Fred Allen leads his weekly parade at the old town hall. Fred's driving in the wind as the band lowers the boom boom. And the mighty Allen Art players are dancing the community hornpipes as the people cheer. Let's join the merry throng. Everybody is on. Here they come. Parsons.
Well, come on, Parsons. Quit stalling. We're here to get married.
Relax, young man. Your nuptials will have to wait for an hour. It's town hall tonight.
You say you favor cutting down all radio allotments, Senator?
Except the 60 minutes allotted to one radio program. It's town hall tonight.
Lost explorers.
What were your first words when you got back to civilization, Mr. Ellsworth?
I said, it's Wednesday, boys. Bring me a radio. It's town hall tonight.
At the old town hall, folks, and there's Fred telling the crowd about the wonders on the inside. Listen.
You don't need your top hat, folks. You don't need your white tie. And even the dogs don't have to worry about their tails at the town hall. Everybody's welcome, so step right along.
Easy there, old fuss budget.
Good evening, Mrs. Berry. How's the village dressmaker tonight?
Well, I'm still looking on the seedy side of life, Mr. Allen.
Go right in, Mrs. Berry, you old so-and-so. The fun is fast, the music's right. It'll take you 60 minutes, folks. It's town hall tonight.
Hey there, Ellen.
Hi, Luther. Say, it's a little late in the season for that Palm Beach suit, isn't it?
They say you've got the hottest show in town, Ellen, and I'm dressed for the occasion.
Go right in, folks. Single line, please. Hurry, hurry,
hey,
hurry.
We're all set here, Fred. How about you?
Okay, Harry. Tell Peter we'll open with I Feel a Song Coming On.
Right, old Fred. Let her go, Peter.
Children out after the rain.
round, go on drumming, cause I'm in a song coming on.
Presenting that tempestuous titan of syntonabular titillation and tit-for-tat terminology, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before we ask you to put your hands on the Ouija board and help us to get Joe Miller so that we'll be sure of some mid-Victorian jokes for this evening, I'll read you the Town Hall Bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, public grocer number one, says that for the next few days, customers coming into the store will have to wait on themselves. Hodge sent his pants out to the tailor Monday, and the tailor shop caught fire. And Hodge won't be able to come out from behind the counter now until the insurance company covers his loss. Hodge says he may be on the half shell, but business will go on as usual. So much for sartorial dilemmas in the vicinity, and now for the town hall news. And now, Harry?
Hey, I'm way ahead of you, Fred. Here's
really?
Your picture sheet.
Thank you. You remember what happened a week ago tonight in New York City, NY, Harry?
Oh, yes. The lights went out, didn't they? I can take a hint. Here they go.
The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Williamstown, Massachusetts. Williams College installs neuropsychiatrists to solve undergraduate problems and enable students to attain full benefits of college life. Town Hall News shows how new service will probably work out. The scene, the psychiatrist's office at Williams College.
There's a student waiting, doctor. Here's his chart.
Mm-hmm. Buster Trundle, sophomore, scholarship poor.
He may be dumb in the classroom, but in a rumble seat. Oh, doctor.
You seem to know quite a lot about the patient, nurse.
I ought to. He's taken me out a couple of times when I had the money. He's always borrowing.
It's probably a case of claustrophobia.
You said it, doctor. He's close, all right.
This is no time for levity, nurse. I'm here to see that the Williams undergraduate attains full value from his college life. Show the patient in.
Yes, doctor. Right this way, Mr. Trundle.
Thanks, nurse.
And now, young man...
Doc, I had to come.
I know, Buster. You're not getting everything from your college life.
Well, no.
Your ego is no doubt undergoing a delicate period, with the inferiority complex struggling for recognition.
Well...
Exactly. Freud says, neuroses are red, violence is blue. Do you ever see red and then blue?
Well,
I knew it. Psychology teaches us that students are porous mentally.
Now, look here,
you're
Doc.
You're perfectly right, Trundle. Wearing an imitation raccoon coat can give you the mentality of a ferret. The scientific term is ferretinitis.
But listen, Doc.
Take off that rigor mortis, man. Speak up. You're holding something back.
Well, yes, Doc, I am.
You're not attaining the full value of your college life. You're stifling your subconscious. You need something.
Well, I hate to ask you, Doc.
As your college psychiatrist, I demand that you ask me.
Well...
Speak freely, Trundle. What is it you need?
I need $2 to get my tuxedo out of hock, Doc. How about it?
Burlington, Ontario. Chief Constable L.D. Smith offers to protect single men from annoyance during leap year and threatens to arrest brazen women who bother bachelors with marriage proposals during 1936. Town Hall News shows how men will probably be protected during leap year at Burlington, Ontario. The scene, a side street, time, 8 p.m.
Well, hello there, business. I ain't seen you since New Year's.
No, I've been hiding indoors since January 1st, Rankin.
Oh, what's the big idea?
Oh, it's leap year, Rankin.
That's right. You single guys have got to keep out of sight.
Oh, you bet. A bachelor in the next house was hit over the head the other night, and he woke up in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous, all right.
Yeah, I just come out at night to get a little air. If I hear a woman coming, I jump right back into the house.
Well, I gotta be getting along. So long, Bismuth.
So long, Rankin. So you're fast. Who's that? Who's there? Who's...
No, don't get frightened, mister.
You don't know me, hussy.
No, but I've been watching you sneak out every night. I've been waiting to catch you alone.
Now, see here. Now, take your arms away. If you're here with intent to flirt...
It says leap year, Daddy, and you're hooked.
Oh, yes? Well, 23 for you. If you're playing fast and loose...
Stop
kissing me.
I mean business, honey. This is a proposal.
A proposal? Help! Police! A proposal! Help! A proposal.
Hey, what's going on here?
This woman's annoying me.
Oh, yeah? What's your racket, sister?
It's Sleepier, ain't it?
She's been molesting me for half an hour, officer.
I'm crazy about him, copper.
Never mind him. You're coming with me. Here's the wagon.
Are you engaged, officer?
No.
Well, get in the wagon and you will be.
Help, please!
Tacoma, Washington. Three Tacoma medical organizations put medicine on big business basis. Patients contract for medical attention in advance, guaranteeing monthly payments for operations or other medical service they may require. Town Hall News gets opinions on new systems. Simeon Spavin, prominent veterinarian, says...
Us horse doctors can't sign up our patients. We got to trust to luck. I've been horsed out of plenty. The only time I ever got my money, I treated a racehorse for tonsillitis. That horse paid 20-1.
Town Hall News shows how contracts for medical attention may work out for average families. The scene, home of Walpole Brink, a white-collar worker.
Hello, dear.
You're late, Walpole.
Yes, dear. The 5:12 is snowbound.
Well, stuff will be ready in just a minute.
I'm starved. Hey, what's new? Any visitors today?
The finance man was here about the car. I stalled him.
Well, that car's been stolen us ever since we got it. Now we're even.
The collectors for the washing machine, the refrigerator called, too.
Those guys with their easy payments. I'll show them how easy they are.
And the doctor's been here twice. Your appendix payment is overdue.
That croaker insisted on taking out my appendix. Now he can hold the bag.
Oh, that's probably the doctor now.
Let him in. I'm ready for him.
Good evening, Mrs. Brink.
Oh, come in, Doc.
Step in, Max.
Okay, Doc.
This is my lawyer, Mr. Corpus.
How are you, Mr. Corpus?
I object. Something tells me this ain't no social call, Doc. What's on your mind?
You're way behind with your appendix payments, Mr. Brink.
So what?
Business is business, Mr. Brink. You signed the contract.
It's right here, November 13th. Whereas... my appendix is about to be removed. I promise to pay $10 down and $5 weekly until the operation is mine. Signed and sealed, Walpole Brink. So what?
When do you intend to pay it, Mr. Brink?
Well, not right away. The car and the washing machine came before Walpole's appendix.
Yeah. The scar's on me, but the operation's on you. Get it?
In other words, you're repudiating your medical contract.
Yeah. Now, what are you going to do about it?
There's only one thing my client can do about it. Obviously. Hand me my ether can, Corpus.
What's the ether for?
Yeah, what are you going to do, Doc?
I'm going to exercise my rights under Clause 7 of your contract.
What's Clause 7?
To wit, if you fail to meet your payments, the doctor can reopen his claim.
You mean...
Exactly. I'm putting back your appendix.
The Town Hall News, ladies and gentlemen. In just a minute, we'll have something for you in the way of local trivia.
Did you say in just a minute, Fred?
Well, about a minute, Harry. I wouldn't sell my soul for a few seconds.
Well, now, that's just my point, Fred. I'd like to bet that there isn't one person in 100 listening in right now who can tell how long a minute really is.
Well, I even forget my Puritan upbringing long enough to bet on that, Harry.
All right. Now, wait a minute. Don't any of you look at your watches now. Peter, you give me a starting signal, and when any of you think I've talked a minute, you stump me. Okay, Peter. Now, a minute's a pretty short time, but in even less than a minute, you can start getting after one of the most annoying things that can happen to you, a cold. And you can do it by taking Sal Hepatica, 2 teaspoonfuls in a glass of water. Because when you have a cold, there are 2 things you want to get after right away. First, the waste in your body, and second, the acid in your system that encourages your cold. And Sal Hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that gets after both. It not only rids your body of waste, but it also combats acidity. And that's something no ordinary laxative does. So just remember, at the first sign of a cold, 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica.
I think the minute's up, Harry.
No, Fred, it was less than 40 seconds. See, I told you. Ladies and gentlemen, it took less than 40 seconds to remind you of something many people have been remembering for 40 years. Sal Hepatica, for the smile of health.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played I've Got My Fingers Crossed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday morning, Deacon Bohr will preach here at the hall. The deacon's sermon will be Skiing on the Sabbath, or Are Our American Girls Backsliding on Their Weekend? Quiet, quiet, please. If that's some carnival man trying to open a peep show, there won't be a peep out of you if I come down there.
Hello.
Well, sir, as I live and wonder whether this jumping in my vest is hope springing eternal or just another heart attack, if it isn't Portland.
Yes, Papa sent me out to buy a mousetrap, and that got me thinking about cheese.
I know, and thinking about cheese reminded you of me. What does Papa want with a mousetrap?
Well, last night he heard mice pacing up and down in the pantry.
Mice pacing up and down? Mice don't go stomping around people's pantries. A mouse generally sneaks in, eats his fill, and then quietly falls asleep.
Yes, but our mice are eating Mama's coffee, and it keeps them awake.
Really? Keeps them awake nights, huh? Just don't leave a mouse hanging suspended there in time, you know. It says it keeps them awake nights, right?
Right.
If I ever build a... Say, that mouse might go on for generations, the unknown mouse hanging in midair because you didn't tell how long he'd been asleep. If I ever build a house, I'm going to put in rubber walls.
To keep out mice?
You bet. The mouse gnaws through a rubber wall, and as soon as he comes out on the other side, the hole snaps together behind him.
And then what?
When the mouse turns around and sees the hole is gone, he thinks he's hatched. It unbalances him mentally. You don't need a trap.
I couldn't get a trap. The man's running up his cat so he gets some in.
A cat, hey? Well, after looking at your father all these years, another puss around the house ought to be a relief.
Oh, I get it. Well, this cat will get results. He's pretty tough.
How tough is he?
He went down to the Roxy Theater yesterday and Mickey Mouse is in life. This cat spit out the word mouse, bulb by bulb.
Say, pretty tough. We had a cat tougher than that, though.
How tough was your cat?
He thought Joe Brown's mouth was a rat hole. He sat down beside it two nights while Joe was asleep and dared Joe's tonsils to come out.
I ought to tell Papa about your cat.
Yes, and you'd better run along home now before you forget the details.
Oh, no, I've got important business here
first.
Oh,
not here.
Miss Joe!
You've got the wrong...
Hello.
No.
Yes, Papa, I'm busy. Come on up, Papa.
Yes, Miss Phil. I can't stay long, though. Yes. What's that hanging out of your collar, mister?
What are you laughing at, Yoko?
Oh, that's your face. I didn't know what it was till your mouth opened.
Herman's a mailman, Mr. Allen.
A mailman? I've never seen a mailman with five bags before.
Herman only has one bag, Mr. Allen.
What one bag? He's got two in the knees of his pants, one under each eye, and a bag on his back. Five bags.
Herman is with me, young man. And Miss Rill is a Stratton soloist, Mr. Allen.
And you can say that again, Forty.
All right. Miss Shrill is a Stratton soloist, Mr. Allen.
Now, wait a minute. You can unsay it again as far as I'm concerned. What's a Scranton soloist?
Young man, I'm studying voice through the mail.
Well, if you're giving a recital at the post office, thanks for the warning.
Now, mind your fancy talk, stupid. I'm apt to cool off and gel all over you.
Oh. Old man Quiver, hey?
Oh, stop, Mr. Allen. Miss Shrill wants to sing for you.
Indeed, I'm simply dying to dash off a chanson. I distinctly hear opportunity knocking.
After you sing, you'll hear a knocking that'll make you think the four Marx brothers are at the door with their arms full of woodpecker.
I wouldn't say that.
You don't have to say it. I've already said it.
He'll fool you. I was pretty disgusted when I delivered her first lesson.
Oh, remember, Herman. I need her on the house for 2 whole months.
When did you really get going, Miss Shrill?
Well, in the spring of 33. I brought her first scale. It was a special delivery.
Oh, fun symphonic memories. Do re mi fa sol la. What comes off the solo, Herman?
Plexus.
No, it's
It's Pedo.
Oh, yes. Oh, fickle memory. Tea. You know my tea was always weak.
Weak tea always tastes like rainwater to
you
me.
You keep out of this, Morgan. Keep out of this argument.
Let me see. When did I stop my pear-shaped cone, Summer?
In January 34, it was. The flap was open on your lesson. I remember I peeked.
What are pear-shaped cones, Miss Shrill?
Why, these, dear girl.
If those are pear-shaped, the stem of that pear is caught in your larynx.
Miss Shrill spent months at her Aunt Auntie's and her obligatos.
Yes, and I was delivering shirt soles to the house along. I was beginning to feel like the laundryman.
Oh, yes. A correspondent school singer would be lost without her mailman. Herman always accompanies me at my recitals.
Yep, and I got my flute right here.
Gosh, that's good, Herman.
Yeah, I know it. You never guess it, though. But I learned the flute through the mail, too.
You should play it through the mail, second class.
Can you sing that opera, Wagner Wheels, Miss Shrill?
No. No opera, Porter. I have a symphonic yen.
I'm ready, Miss Shrill. Name your weapon.
I shall do Hold Against the Law.
Oh, that's swell. I know that. Ho, ho, and it comes out large.
Stop it, Portland. That may be locked to you, but it's off-key sparrow to me.
Very well, I'm ready, Herman. The gentle knock. And pitch it off, if you please. Low hear the gentle knock. Low hear the gentle
Wait a minute. Now, I'm no bird lover, but you can't do that to a lock in here.
Why, I haven't even started. The lock was barely off the ground. I generally think it is full flight.
Well, let's skip the singing and get right down to your full flight.
Oh, this is insubordination.
Granton will hear about this, Mr. Allen.
You bet Granton will. And Miss Shrill. Miss Shrill's next recital will be given at the Dead Letter Office. And this slow leak with his pizzicato here.
Open your mouth again, Cat, and you'll take this flute internally.
Oh, boy, the postal authorities will look into this, Mr. Allen.
Just tell them Miss Shrill's mouth was opened here by a mistake.
In other words, you want me to pick up my lock and go.
Yes, always remember a bird in the hand is worth two in the offing. Goodbye, folks. So long, Portland.
Howie, ho!
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys throw ashes on the stage to sing Slip Horn Sam.
You've heard of Reuben Long and his violin. Ted Lewis and his clarinet, of course you've heard of him. Perhaps you like piano
when Ellington plays that thing.
Or maybe it's the organ of which Jess Crawford's king. You can have old Pete and his piccolo, or others you can get. Cause when it comes to music, you ain't heard nothing yet. Like the birds that sing in the month of May, that's the way it sounds when he hits his eight and slip on Sam and his old trombone. With a little slide of his stand-up horn, he make you see a bright spring morn and slip on Sam and his old trombone. Just a change of tone and a different strain
with a touch of a minor key.
You feel all alone out in the rain, no one for company. When he gets wild and goes to town, he does his stuff and he brings them down. That's slip on Sam and his old trombone. Now here's how Sam learned to play trombone. He can easy lessons right at home. He practiced hard for a year, you see, and finally finished lesson number three.
And this is the way he played.
After 6 months' time, he learned new tricks and finally mastered lesson number six, and this is the way he played. He practiced hard, and in 2 years' time,
he at last arrived at lesson number nine,
and this is the way he played.
After lesson number 10, the boy left home.
Got a job with a pen, ideas on his phone, and this is the way he played. It flows through here, and the music goes round and round. There's a change of tone and a different strain
with the touch of a minor key.
You feel all alone out in the rain, no one for company. And when he gets hot and goes to town, he does his stuff and it brings him down at Slip One Sam. Slip One Sam and his old trombone.
That was the Town Hall Quartet, who have just sung, say, Harry, my erudite friend, which is correct?
Well, now, Fred, what you obviously need is an intelligence test.
An intelligence test? Why doesn't somebody tell me these things?
No, now, wait a minute. Just concentrate, Fred. I'll ask you three questions, you see, and if you get just one of them right, you get 100%.
Sounds like a shell game to me, but proceed, Professor.
All right. Now, what, for instance, is the population of Vindin?
What, for instance, is Vindin?
Why, Fred, Vindin is a city in French Indochina with a population of 74,000.
You know, I thought it was Gunga Din's brother all the time. What's the next one?
Who did Louis XIV marry and how many children did he have?
Who did he marry and how... Who do you think I am, a peeping Tom?
All right, Fred, we'll skip that one. Now, here's your last chance.
And if it's another Vindin...
No, it isn't. Now, think, Fred. What toothpaste comes in a red and yellow striped tube and makes your gums firmer and your teeth lovelier?
That's more like it. All I have to say is I panna and I get 100%. Is that right?
Right, Fred. All anyone has to say is I panna for 100% more attractive smile. For if you just massage a little pleasant-tasting I panna into your gums every time you brush your teeth with it, you'll have firmer, healthier gums and brighter, more sparkling teeth. So remember, I panna. For the smile of beauty.
And now we've come to the mighty Alan R. players, ladies and gentlemen. The first actors to discover that no matter which one of Shakespeare's plays they presented, it turned out to be much ado about nothing. Tonight, these bold weevils in the field of drama present a modern mystery playlet entitled Mumbo, or Who Stole the Elephant? From Billy Nose's finale. Overture, Peter.
All police cars stand by. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Robbery at Hippodrome Theater. Two elephants stolen. Mumbo matinee may be postponed. Calling Detective One Long Pan. Proceed to Hippodrome Theater.
I
don't know.
Who is this, Billy Nose? I'm Nose, officer.
I'm Detective Muldoon. What's going on here?
My two elephants, Mumbo and Gumbo, have been stolen. Didn't you get my report at headquarters?
We got a report, but the chief couldn't spell elephants. He wrote down two lost elks. I just raided the Elks Club.
Oh, this is terrible. My show is ruined.
Now, cool off, Nose. This mystery's just going to solve. I'm only prologue. I've called in One Long Pan. Speak of the devil, here he is now.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, everybody. Greetings, salutation. Long Pan here to solve mystery. Who is missing?
This is Mr. Nose.
Oh, Mr. Nose missing? Here he is. Mystery solved.
I'm not missing. It's my two elephants, Mumbo and Gumbo. They were stolen from the theater during the night.
That's right, Long Pan. They disappeared into thin air.
No. Elephant may disappear, but they are never seen. Who saw elephant last?
I saw him in finale.
Who are you, Flapper?
I'm Gloria Flux, the leading lady.
Leading lady? You lead elephant home after show?
Indeed not. I went home alone.
Why, yes. I know Miss Flux. She wouldn't go out with an elephant.
It's upset. Chorus girl, burlesque show, many times seen with trunk. Oh, very good, very good. Exceptional. Good.
Okay, now keep your mind on the case, Long Pan.
Yes, I've got 100 bad jokes in the show, but only 2 elephants.
Maybe elephant walk out on bad joke, Mr. Noah.
No, the elephants couldn't walk out. The stage doorman was here all night.
Yeah? Where is this doorman? We'll grill him.
In the green room, right through here.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Oh, look at him. He's dead to the world.
Yeah, it smells as though he's been drinking shellac.
Aesop say, man who drinks shellac have beautiful finish.
Come on, right, snap out of it, buddy. Come on, wake up.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
Oh, hello, Mr. Nose.
Wake up, Joe. Mumbo and Gumbo have been stolen.
You say elephant napper, nap elephants last night?
No, I didn't see nothing.
You come clean, Joe. Last night you drink too much. Pass out. See elephant and sheep.
That's right. I saw four elephants. Two of them was Lavender.
So you say you open stage door. Tell Lavender elephant to scram, no?
That's right, I did.
I tell you.
And Mumbo and Gumbo must have scrammed too, Mr. Nose.
But they couldn't get out of the theater, Muldoon. They were tied.
Mr. Nose, like somebody fills elephant. Pay lost me. Long Pan got hunch. Use telephone.
Oh, well, here's a phone right here, Long Pan, an outside line.
Thank you. Hello? Hello? You give me Bryant 9, Porto 66.
Hello?
Hello, this Republican in club?
Yes, who is this, Herb?
No. Herb out of town. Detective One Along Pan speaking. You got elephant there?
No, we Republicans lost our elephant last election. They got our goat, too.
Any luck, Long Pan?
No. Discover new mystery. Goat missing, too.
Now, one mystery at a time, Long Pan.
Yes, let's find my elephants first.
A happy suggestion. Long Pan, look at elephant bed. Maybe find clothes.
Well, it's right out here, Long Pan.
Let's go.
Very good.
Now, here's the corner. They were tied to these stakes.
Sure. Elephant gone, but melody linger on. They shall say, Gesundheit, Muldoon.
It's that hay, Long Pan. I always sneeze around hay. I got hay fever.
Hay fever very bad. Make nose run like a day clock.
I got it awful. I can smell hay a mile away.
Mile away? Excellent, Muldoon. Your sneeze will solve mystery.
This mystery's not to be sneezed at, Long Pan. What's Muldoon's hay fever got to do with my missing elephant?
Elephant eat hay. With hay fever, Muldoon will smell hay on elephant breath. You see?
Come on, now, get me away from this hay.
Yes, Long Pan, what's our next move?
We all go out and sleep in Toto. At every door, Muldoon sneeze, we suspect hay in house. Definitely, knock on door. Let's go.
Long Pan, this won't work.
Oh, you keep muffler on, Mr. Lowe. We catch guilty party. You try this out, Muldoon. Take a big inhale. You catch crow?
No, there's no hay here.
How about this one?
You inhale. Encore, Muldoon.
No. Hey, wait a minute. Me nose tickles.
You check, Muldoon. Both nostrils. You see, very good. Hey, positively. I ring bell.
If my elephants are only here, I can still give them matinee.
Well, what is it?
You steal two elephants, madam?
Go away, you Chinese stew. I'll call a cop.
Chinese stew. I am officer, madam. Who live here?
Mr. Brew.
What's his first name, lady?
Hayward. Good day.
Oh, you bad boy. Bad boy, Muldoon. You'll give One Long Pan bum steer.
Well, I'm sorry, Long Pan. That hay and Hayward fooled me.
Yeah, if we pass the courthouse, he'll sneeze at the habeas corpus.
You'll keep obeying his health, Mr. Nose. Okay, Muldoon. Next house. You inhale here.
Okay.
This is probably Lenny Hayton's place.
Quiet, Nose. Long Pan ling bell.
It's pretty strong here, Long Pan.
Somebody's coming.
Well, what is it?
I am one detective, One Along Pan, madam.
I don't need no Long Pan. My icebox drains itself.
Very funny, madam. But beside point, have you seen two elephants, madam?
Why, no.
You stand back, lady. We'll search house and them alone.
Well, of all the nerves.
Yeah, this is the parlor. They're not in here.
Very good. You inhale, Muldoon.
My nose tells me it's in that room, Long Pan.
One strike, madam. Oh. Long Pan, investigate that room.
Oh, you can't go in there. No.
She's fainted.
Women always faint at a crucible moment. Stand back. Long Pan, open door.
Mumbo!
Gumbo!
Say, what do you know? Both elephants is here. Great work, Long Pan.
Long Pan, many times insolvent, but never fail.
I'll get Mumbo and Gumbo back to the theater. Come on, Mumbo!
Later, Nose. Soon as we pinch this den.
Oh, where am I?
You see, lady, come too. Elephant passing even revived dead man.
You're under arrest, lady.
You're still elephant, lady. We catch you with trunk down.
Yes, I took them. The Hippodrome stage door was open this morning. I had to have those two elephants.
You had to have two elephants, lady? For what?
My husband brought home a book. It was so big, I was afraid it would fall over and kill us both.
Ah, Mr. Saul, you need two elephants for bookends.
What book would need elephants for bookends?
Very simple. Anthony Edwards.
Now that the Mighty Allen R. players are bedded down for the evening, we have a mighty afterpiece for you, ladies and gentlemen, with a cast of 60,000 and two players. The scene, a sports arena. The 60,000. And now, the other two players.
Boy, did you ever see such a quick knockout?
Huh? What?
Oh, didn't you see that right to the kid's jaw?
No, I wasn't looking.
Well, for Pete's sake, where were you looking at, huh?
That girl over there.
Oh
boy, what a smile.
Well, now, maybe the smile was a knockout, too. Most smiles are, if the teeth they frame are brilliant and sparkling. Just brushing them with toothpaste, though, isn't enough. For in the words of a prominent dentist,
our teeth are seldom white and brilliant if our gums are soft and tender. And we're often so lazy in the matter of chewing. And we eat so many soft, creamy foods that our gums lose their tone and condition.
That is when Pink Toothbrush warns us our gums are tender and need exercise. And there's an easy and pleasant way to give it to them, with Ipana toothpaste and massage. If you just massage a little Ipana into your gums every time you brush your teeth with it, you'll tone and stimulate them, make them strong and healthy. And at the same time, you'll have cleaner, whiter, brighter teeth. Just ask anyone who uses it if it isn't well worth remembering Ipana for the smile of beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall continues immediately after your station announcement.
Got a brand new suit, got a brand new tie, got a brand new twinkle in my eye. Do you know the reason why? Got a brand new girl. And a wooden shoe. He's the reason I got a brand new tie and a brand new suit. When I'm with her, gotta look my best. Put on my tan shoes, gray pants, double-breasted vest. Oh, where am I sitting? In the neck of a girl. With a brand new tie and a brand new suit and a brand new girl.
Back in Town Hall, friends, and you've just heard Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours play Got a Brand New Suit with a vocal chorus for the Town Hall Quartet. Now here's Fred with a new group of anxious and eager amateurs. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Uncle here, Jim, is here tonight again with his wards, and our amateurs are going to compete this evening for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select the winners. Your applause after each act will be registered on the Johns Manville applause machine here on the stage, and the three acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later for your final vote. Now, first tonight, I am happy to have you meet four boys from Waterbury, Connecticut. The ABC Quartet, Wilfred Greenblatt, Daniel Barrett, Henry Gauthier, and Dick Brown. Is that right, boys?
That's right.
From Waterbury, Connecticut, eh? Before we get started, what is ABC, the ABC Quartet? What does ABC stand for?
It stands for All Brass City.
Oh, All Brass City. I thought it might have been another government project out that I didn't understand about. There was another famous quartet a few years back. Did you know the Elm City Four?
I know Jim Carty.
Harry Morrissey. Harry Morrissey. They both come from up in Connecticut, don't they?
That's right.
That was a fine quartet and played many seasons in White Scandals.
That's right.
What is Jim doing now?
Jim's running an inn up in Newington.
An inn? Is that a high class? Just what is he running up there?
Define
that inn.
The roadhouse, more or less. Dining and dancing.
I heard it was a diner. I thought you were just putting on a nail there.
No,
I
thought you were making the place a little bigger in conversation for Jim up there.
Well, they've made it bigger since you've been up there, Bert.
Well, that's fine. It started with, I was glad to hear that he was on the wagon originally. Now, he's branched out into a roadhouse. That's swell. Well, Waterbury is a very fine city, the home of Yale University. Oh, no, it isn't, is it?
That's New Haven.
That's right. New Haven is the home of Yale University. Well, I have one of those 10-cent maps, and on my map, Yale goes over into Waterbury. It's very embarrassing. Well, boys, what are you going to sing?
Tiger Rag.
The Tiger Rag, the ABC Quartet. Thank you. Thank you.
Where's the tiger?
Who's afraid of the big bad tiger?
Where's the tiger? Well, won't you tell me where he be? Blow my eyebrow, they all fly now. He played a tiger rag for me. That rag for me.
Boom, boom, boom.
There's no favor, money, plain.
Don't ever do that.
You don't know. Has your soul no steel, the tiger has a claim.
Oh, you nasty tiger.
Whip it hard, get it wrong. There it is, now to get it wrong. Need a man, get on your feet. Need a man to stop to beat that old tiger if you want to blow a bone. Where's the tiger? Well, won't you tell me where he be?
ABC Quartet, ladies and gentlemen, from Waterbury, Connecticut. And now I would like to have you meet Miss Elena Bendo and Miss Dorothy Edmonds. Good evening, girls.
Good evening.
Which is which, may I ask? Who is Miss...
I'm guilty of being Dorothy Edmonds.
You're Dorothy Edmonds, and you're...
Elena Bendo.
Well, you see, now, there's only one of me, fortunately, so you girls won't be confused. Is this your home, Miss Bendo?
No, this isn't. My home is in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, is it really? And Miss Edmonds?
I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, from Alberta. I worked there many years ago on the Pantages time.
Pantages Theater?
I guess you were too young then, though, to be going. What are you girls? You don't mind if I ask you what you're doing in New York, do you?
No.
What are you doing?
Well, I am studying in the hopes of being a singer and working as a saleslady on the side.
You're studying music, boys?
Yes, they both are.
Well, that's swell. What is your ultimate ambition? To sing in the radio or in the theater or where?
Both radio or opera, either one.
Oh, opera, too.
Hope so.
Oh, that's fine. I think that anyone with the talent and ability and stick-to-itiveness is very important if you're going to attain your ambition. You have to stick to anything if you're going to be a success. Unless, of course, you're selling porous plasters, and then your success will depend upon someone else sticking to it. Well, what are you girls going to sing?
The Hugoette Waltz.
The Hugo... The what?
The Hugoette Waltz from The Vagabond King.
Oh, thank you very much.
Here, I will live, living, to be free, like my father, my king, and true.
Yes, that was Miss Helena Bendo and Miss Dorothy Edmonds. And now Uncle Jim is crowding me here with the table. What is the table for, Uncle Jim? Oh, this is Tommy Dunn, am I right?
That's right, Fred.
Tommy Dunn from Broad Channel, New York, ladies and gentlemen. Where's Broad Channel? Don't, Uncle Jim, now don't confuse the thing. Tommy and I'll get along all right. Uncle Jim is fixing a table and a harmonica I see there. How old are you, Tommy?
18.
18, really?
Yes.
Where is Broad Channel?
Oh, it's out near the Rockaways.
Out near the Rockaways,
yes.
Eh? You go to school?
Yes.
You go to school out there?
Yes.
You do, huh?
Yes.
You look with the sweater on with this large C. What does that C stand for?
That stands for the Broad Channel Cardinals, our club.
Oh, a football team, is it?
Everything.
Oh, it's everything.
Everything.
Well, you don't play all these things at the same time, do you?
Sometimes.
Uncle Jim told me that you're interested in boxing. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
He told me also that you expect to go enter the Golden Glove contest this year.
Yes, that's right.
You do, really?
Yes.
What's your weight?
118.
118, huh? I used to think I was quite a boxer years ago. Got monotonous, though. I finally gave it up. Every time I boxed, I was in the ropes so much, people thought it was a rodeo. They went home during the match. I'd like to try out. Do you mind if I try out some of your defense there to see if you're ready for the Golden Glove?
Sure.
What's your defense for a left jab, say?
My left hand.
Your left hand comes up. And the left hook?
A right hand.
A right hand. And the uppercut?
All of these times.
All right. No, we'll end it, you see. In all of my fighting, I never had to bother. I just threw one punch and then landed. Yes, go ahead. Tommy has to take off his sweater. Now, as I understand it, he's going to play the harmonica standing on your head or your hands. Which is it? On your hands, sir. We have a table here and a little book. I might as well tell you the book is the Economy Cookbook. I mean, the mouth organ is set on the side of the book. I guess that's in case Tommy gets hungry while he's doing the trick. He opens that up and reads a recipe. He's going to play the harmonica standing on his hands. All right, Tommy. Thank you very much, Tommy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Charles Chancer from Brooklyn. Mr. Chancer, how are you?
How are you doing, Mr.
Allen? Allen is my name. You are a pianist and a songwriter. Is that right?
That's right.
Have you written many numbers?
I've written several numbers, yes.
Have you? Have any published yet?
I've had the good fortune to have one published, the song I'm going to play.
How long after you had written it was the song published?
Well, about a year and a half.
Year and a half, eh? Must have had a lot of merit to have had the publishing postponed that long. Look at that song, the music goes round and whatever it is, you know that?
And round.
The fellas who wrote that was published right away, I understand. The fellas who wrote it didn't even have time to, they ran out of words before they got to the middle of it. They had to put in some ho-ho-hos there or something. I guess they put the hose in so they'd have a stock number. That was probably it. What are you going to play for us, Mr. Chancer?
The song is called After Dark.
After Dark. Your own original composition, huh?
Okay.
Well, you go right ahead. I will do a Highland Fling here at the microphone, pending television. I'll see. I'll probably win the contest with my fling. Thank you.
After dark, though we're far apart, after dark, you creep into my heart every night when no one's inside. Like a thief, you steal into my life with a dawn. I'm left with just a memory. Love is gone.
Chancer of Brooklyn, playing his own composition after dark. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a tiny little lady, Miss Eleanor Freeze. Is that right, Miss Freeze? Rather a frosty name, isn't it? Would you mind speaking up? Gosh, how tall are you?
I'm as tall as Mary Pickford, Mr. Allen.
As tall as...
4'9".
4'9", eh?
Yes.
Eleanor Freeze, it looks as though you had settled down during the course of freezing there. What are you going to, you have musical chimes. That's an odd-looking instrument, isn't it?
Yes.
It's sort of a xylophone with bells in place of the wooden top. Is it a well-known instrument? Is it something that you work out yourself?
No, it's something that my dad brought home from Europe.
Oh, from Europe, huh?
They're not living now. He brought them for my fourth birthday. And he died before I was 5, so he never heard me play them.
Well, that's too bad. You've kept them ever since, huh?
Yes, I have.
Have you practiced on them ever since you've been 4?
Well, since I was 5 or 6.
Well, that's fine. I was a little worried when Uncle Jim told me that you played the chimes. I thought that we'd have to ask the studio audience to follow you up in some belfry to see how it is done. But fortunately, you have the portable chime. So I'm going to ask you, what selection are you going to play?
I'm playing the glowworm.
The glowworm. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, for Miss Freeze, we go to Miss Lillian... Pardon me, what is...
Freiser.
From Miss Freeze to Miss Lillian Freiser. I... out of the frying pan into the Freiser, huh? And you are from the Bronx, Miss Freiser?
Yes.
You are a singer, huh?
Yes.
How did you ever get down from the Bronx tonight? A dog sled or something?
No.
I heard the snow is pretty deep up there, is it?
Yes.
It is. Where do you live?
East Bronx, Prospect Avenue.
Oh, Prospect Avenue. You know, I heard the snow was so deep up there around 159th Street that some boys made a snowman on the sidewalk there, and one of the put a broom in the snowman's hand, and one of those WPA executives came along and handed the snowman a check yesterday. He was working on a project out there, just a little confused. Well, what are you going to sing, Miss Freeza? Miss Freiser, I beg your pardon.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Thank you.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Head troubled by the toe. If Hollis let it go, let it fly away. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Pretty low. Hear it anywhere you go, any time of day. Big band rings it, valley sings it, wise men swings it, even Mr. Crosby sings it. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, head troubled by the cold. If it hollers, let it go, let it fly away. Big band rings it, valley sings it, wise men. Even Mr. Crosby brings it. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Get troubled by the toes. If Hollis let it go.
grand prize. Well, thank you very much. And that completes our amateur contest for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And while I look at the applause machine, I'm going to ask Harry to take the microphone in hand and say a few words. Harry.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the many letters of appreciation you've written Fred in Portland, they are sincerely grateful. And for the many friendly letters you've written us about the two products that make these hours of smiles possible every Wednesday, we are deeply grateful. Thank you all for remembering iPanna for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. iPanna, Sal Hepatica. Peter, thanks very much. You ready, Fred?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts. The ABC Quartet, Tommy Dunn, and Miss Eleanor Freeze. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his fragile mitt, spelled M-I-T-T, over the heads of these boys and girls. And as I call the names, I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud once again for your winners. Are you ready, Harry?
I'm ready, Fred.
Now, first, the four boys who are so kind are kind enough to come down from Waterbury, Connecticut, the ABC Quartet. Next, the young man who played the harmonica standing on his hands, the boy from Broad Channel, down near the Rockaways, Master Tommy Dunn. And then the young lady who played the glowworm on her musical chimes, Miss Eleanor Freeze. Thank you. Now, what does the machine say, Harry? Just a second. We had to come at such a distance, ladies and gentlemen, as the winner came in a relay from the machine to Uncle Jim to Harry Von Zell, and here it is. The first prize, $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, goes to the young gentleman who exemplifies the fine art of playing the mouth organ through standing on his hands, Tommy Dunn. With a decibel rating of 76. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to the young lady with the musical chimes, Miss Eleanor Freeze. Thank you. I'm sorry that we all couldn't win, but thank you for coming and better luck next time. Thank you. This is Fred Allen saying good night, ladies and gentlemen, and inviting you to another hour of smiles next Wednesday evening at the Old Town Hall. Portland, the Mighty Allen R. Players, Peter Van Steen, the Arpana Troubadours, the Town Hall Quartet, and another group of high-test amateurs. We'll all be looking for you, so don't forget, this is Fred Allen saying good night.
Heard on this program, I've got my fingers crossed from King of Burlesque, and I've got a brand new suit from the home of Boss. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Well, he certainly did wonders for me.